भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 65. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratidani priyosime. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. The very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on the original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Text again. Manmanabham adbhakto majam are supposed to be 100 billion verses in the Vedic literature. And the Bhagavad Gita is a summary of the whole 100 billion verses, 700 verses. And of all the Bhagavad Gita, the six middle chapters are the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And of the middle six chapters, the ninth and tenth chapters are the most important. And of the ninth and tenth chapters, the ninth chapter is the most important. And of all the verses in the ninth chapter, this verse, which is repeated twice, is the most important. Manmana bhava madbhakto majajim nam namaskuru mame vaishasi yuktaivam atmana matparayanaha. So here again, Krishna has repeated the same verse. So out of 10 billion verses, this summarizes all the verses in all the Vedic literature. So if you learn this one verse, then you know all the verses. And if you apply it, then you become the most expert Vedantinist. And here Prabhupada summarizes the whole thing. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. So that's perfection. Just always think of Krishna and always act for Krishna. And that's the essence of all knowledge, all the Vedic literature. Any questions? That's the whole thing. Of course, in order to become... to always think of Krishna, we have to hear about him. And then we have to hear the philosophy of how to think about Krishna and how to act for Krishna. Because now we're covered by many, many misconceptions. We're identified with this body. We're identified with this mind. And therefore, within our minds are always going here and there, so many moods, so many emotions, so many understandings, so many experiences, so many things we're bewildered by. But here it says, if we just think about Krishna and in the right mood, in the mood of devotion, and we forget about everything else. That's the difficult thing. Prabhupada gives the example that if you want to learn violin, and you go to the most expert violin school, then the first thing they do is they ask you, how many years have you studied the violin? And if you said you've studied the violin for 10 years, then they charge you twice as much as if you hadn't studied the violin at all. Because the first thing they do is have to help you forget everything you've learned. And then they can start teaching you. So the problem with our general consciousness is that everything we've learned in the material world is wrong, practically speaking. The whole material conception of life is completely erroneous. Therefore, the first thing we have to do is just learn how to neglect our minds, not take them seriously, not listen to them. And at the same time, we have to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as that we take that seriously. That is, we become attracted to hearing about Krishna, about his name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes. And even if there is some thought in our mind, we have to be able to see it in relation to Krishna consciousness, either to completely just forget about it. Of course, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should just forget about everything else and just hear the holy name, remember the holy name, and hopefully gradually, when we get into the right mood, spontaneously remember Krishna's forms, his associates, his pastimes, the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan. The whole atmosphere of Vrindavan is completely different from the atmosphere in the material world, where everyone's running around doing nothing. Everyone's running here and there, doing so many things, but accomplishing absolutely nothing for what they're really trying to accomplish, that is trying to become happy. Although everyone's making a great attempt to become happy, no one is able to accomplish it. So many arrangements for happiness, and even if for one moment we feel happy with the arrangement, then it changes the next moment, we get depressed. Therefore, everyone's running around trying to be happy, but there is a world where everyone is already happy. And that's the only world that we can actually be happy in. So we have, and that world is available if we become conscious of it. There's no other way we can go there unless we first become conscious of it. And that world is made available by hearing and chanting and eventually remembering that particular atmosphere of Vrindavan, experiencing it. And Krishna says here, it's very simple, that one should not become an official meditator. It's not that we should simply sit down, as Prabhupada explains here, and just chant Hare Krishna, because we won't be able to do it. Immediately we'll sit down and our minds will be overwhelmed by so many thoughts, you know, because we have, that's not our present situation. But we should mold our lives in such a way that we always have the chance to think of Krishna. So one has to, in this material conditioned life, we have to be active. But we should be active in such a way as we become Krishna conscious. The tendency is that everyone wants to either do nothing or do something huge, way beyond what they're able to do. We're never satisfied with just doing things in a balanced way. Either we're going to become Krishna conscious in a moment, we're going to work so hard for that moment, we're going to become Krishna conscious, or we give up. It's too hard to get. But here, Prabhupada is saying that we should use our intelligence so that we can very easily think about Krishna, not make things so difficult that it's impossible to think about Krishna. We have so many things to do that we have no opportunity to think about Krishna, or we don't even bother trying to think about Krishna. So we can make so many arrangements for becoming Krishna conscious and never become Krishna conscious. Just like sometimes we want a huge temple and we want the most elaborate deities, we want 15 pairs of deities, and we want, you know, every program in the world, food for life and plays every week and TV, radio shows, and we only have two devotees in the temple. Somehow or another, we're going to do it. Or we think, well, what's the sense of over-endeavoring like that? You know, why don't we just plan our life in such a way as that we can just have nice prasadam and then sleep? And if anyone somehow or another comes to the temple, well, that's their good fortune. But going out and meeting these people, that's too much of an effort. They're not interested anyhow. They were pious, they'd come here. So generally the tendency is either we endeavor too much or we don't endeavor enough. But that balance, so that we organize our lives in such a way as Prabhupada tried to do it. So we spend a certain amount of time in the morning and the evening hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and then during the day trying to apply that within our lives so that while we're working, that we're also remembering Krishna somehow or another. We're not doing too much or too little, but we're doing things in such a way that it becomes easy to remember Krishna. And then Prabhupada writes that, probably repeats it a few times, that one should arrange one's life that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think of Krishna. So, one who's in such pure Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says that one is guaranteed to go back to Krishna. Not that we're waiting for the end of this life to go back to Krishna, but even in this lifetime, one will actually become Krishna conscious. As we're able to remember more deeply, as the mind is more consistently developing our understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's not that Krishna only exists somewhere in the spiritual world, in some esoteric level of awareness called Krishna consciousness. But actually, there's nothing but Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. And therefore, one who learns the philosophy of Krishna consciousness learns how to see everyone, everything in relation to Krishna, then it becomes very easy to see Krishna everywhere, to remember him. It's not that we have to, just like there was one devotee, he decided he was always going to remember Krishna and never forget him. So he got a harmonica stand and he put it on his around him. And on the harmonica stand he put the name, the Hare Krishna mantra. So where he could, wherever he looked, all he would see was the Hare Krishna mantra. And then he was chanting all day long. He was trying to just seeing Krishna everywhere. And then he started to chant japa. He started to walk around the temple. And then he started to walk around the block and a few blocks. And when he just walked around, he never returned. So this is kind of impractical, that Krishna is so far away that you have to make some kind of unusual effort to become Krishna conscious. Sometimes we'd see in the early days, devotees would be chanting their japa and hitting their heads against the wall, banging their heads against the wall. As if Krishna, you know, in order, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, bang, bang, bang. As if we had to go through some extraordinary effort to remember Krishna. But actually, if one learns the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then one will gradually be able to understand that there's nothing but Krishna. And that the pastimes of Krishna are not so extraordinary in one sense. They're just the natural loving affairs that everyone's looking for in the spiritual world. That everyone essentially is trying to find some loving relationships here, but they actually exist on that platform of consciousness. And they exist here on the platform of service to the absolute realm. If we're trying to serve the absolute realm here, then that absolute realm is here also. But unless we're trying to serve the absolute realm here, that is, serve the ideal realm and act here ideally in terms of Krishna consciousness, and therefore remember the absolute realm and therefore bring it here, then it becomes very difficult or somewhat artificial to act on the absolute realm without actually even knowing what it is. In other words, if we act in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness here, or as Rupa Goswami says, that if we chant very nicely and we remember Krishna, then naturally we'll be able to appreciate how to act in this realm. Just like is always emphasized for preaching. Because by preaching, we're naturally on our best behavior. When we go on, the devotees go on the street and they're trying to distribute books, then even to perfect strangers, they have to act very nicely. They have to compliment them. You can't go on the street and, you know, say, "Excuse me, sir, you look like the ugliest person I ever saw in my life. I think you really need this book." I know you're pretty stupid, but still there's some hope that you might be able to understand something. I know you're a miser, but give something anyhow. Now, if you go out on the street and you insult people, all you'll get is insults back. So naturally you have to go out and you have to, besides relying upon Krishna, praying for Krishna's mercy, you have to act very nicely to people. Just like one time a devotee was distributing a book to one lady, and he was telling this lady, "Oh, you're such a pretty dress you have on, you're such a nice person, you know." She said, "Oh, you're just trying to flatter me, that's all. But I'll give you a donation anyhow." So one has to act on one's best behavior. But that best behavior is because one is engaged in Krishna's service. Similarly, one has to practice the best behavior. That because we're Krishna's servants and we're acting for Krishna, therefore we have to bring that realm into our daily activities. Then the result is that as we act more in relation to Krishna here, then the whole atmosphere here becomes closer to Vrindavan, and we're able to appreciate Vrindavan more. That there is a world where everyone is simply engaged in loving pastimes, loving activities, all based upon helping support the supreme loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. That instead of trying to become Radha and Krishna here, where we can't do it, to actually help support the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual realm, where from their example and from their loving relationship, all the other loving feelings and relationships spring forth. So instead of trying to become Radha and Krishna here, if we join the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world, where everyone is trying to help increase those loving feelings between Radha and Krishna, everyone is an assistant there in those loving pastimes, and therefore, just like the residents there, they enjoy on the same level as Radha and Krishna, and therefore everyone becomes one in that loving feelings. So rather than try to do the impossible here to actually find the real source of happiness, to be a cooperative, be one of the assistants in those loving affairs, and therefore enjoy those loving affairs on the same level as Radha and Krishna does. So thank you. Any questions? Yes. Nishingananda, is that Nakula? Nishingananda was the one he had three deities, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Jagannath, and Nishingadev, and he used to offer the food, and Lord Chaitanya came and ate the food. I think it was Nakula Brahmachari. Yeah, alright. Well, if you can't render the service physically, then you can try and render it. Right. Because just the example is used for meditation, that Brahmin, who didn't have any money, therefore he couldn't render very nice service to Krishna, but he heard that just by doing it mentally, that it would be equal to doing it physically. So he sat in meditation and he used to go gather water from the gold and silver pots, and used to bring to the deities and cook their food, and then he was cooking the sweet rice and he put his finger in it and it burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is better. It has to be done with the mind. But if we have the ability to do something physically, and we don't do it physically, we only do it mentally, it won't be very productive. Because Krishna doesn't say, just think of me. He says, do something for me. Because it's not our body. Therefore, if we dedicate our lives to what Krishna wants us to do, then naturally we'll also think about Krishna. And then the thoughts about Krishna will be in the mood of devotion. But if we just, Prabhupada says, one should not become an official meditator, not that we stop our activities and just officially we think about Krishna, because we won't be able to do it. We'll be dragged away by the mental desires to do something. Because we're not at the stage where we can just mentally desire to serve Krishna. The senses will agitate us, and then our minds will just try and deny it, but eventually they'll just dwell on, no, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do this other thing. We'll just get absorbed in what we don't want to do, and we'll forget about Krishna. So as long as the senses are active, therefore we have to do something with them, because otherwise they'll agitate our mind and we won't be able to think about Krishna. We'll just be sitting there as if we're chanting Hare Krishna, thinking about all the things I really like to do, but I can't do. So therefore Krishna makes a statement, Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasa smaran indriyartha nvimudatma mityacharas uchite. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Yasu atmitya eva yasu indriyani manasa niyamya rabitejna karmendriyai karma yogam asaktasa vishishite. On the other hand, a person who controls the senses with the mind and engages his active organs and works with devotion without attachment is by far superior. So by such activities, gradually the senses and mind will become purified. And therefore, exactly what we do won't be as important, but we'll always be able to remember Krishna no matter what we're doing. Just like we see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, they didn't really necessarily render what we consider big-time service. Some of his devotees would just stand in front of Lord Chaitanya and clear away the crowds when he went to the temple. It wasn't like a big time service. But they were absorbed in thoughts, loving service. Therefore, they were all on the absolute platform of devotion. And that's big time service. At least Krishna thinks it's big time. Because of pure devotion, pure love. So that once we come to that platform, then whatever we're doing will be satisfying. But until we come to that platform, we can't just sit there and meditate. We won't have the capacity to do it. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, let's say we are doing some activity. Should we be more focused on whatever we are doing, or should we chant and do the activity?
No, we should be completely focused on the activity. Otherwise, but we should do it for Krishna. If we're actually doing the activity for Krishna, then we should be completely focused on it. Then naturally we'll remember Krishna. It's not that the activity and the remembrance should be separated. Otherwise, we won't remember Krishna very well, and we won't do the activity very well. We'll just, both of them will be. You know, we'll be cooking, trying to remember Krishna, and we'll burn everything. And then we'll blame it on Krishna. No, so we should cook very nicely for Krishna. Therefore, the food should be offered to Krishna. Therefore, we should cook so nicely that naturally, if we're doing it for Krishna, naturally the feeling will be there. We're actually doing it to please Krishna, the feeling will be there, and then naturally the remembrance of Krishna will be there automatically. It's the devotion that Krishna wants, not some, mechanical remembrance of Him. So just about thinking about Krishna by itself won't be very productive either. But thinking about pleasing Krishna, that would be very productive. Because like if you said, you know, I love you very much, but I have no feelings for you. I just think about you, but I have no feeling for you whatsoever. Actually, it's the feeling that counts. But without doing the service very nicely, how can we say we have any feeling? If you were married, and you were cooking for you know, say the wife was cooking for the husband, everything was burnt. And the husband said, what happened? She said, well, I was so much in love with you. I was thinking about you so deeply that I just burnt everything. No, if you actually love the person, you'll do the service so nicely that it'll be, you know, it'll come out very nicely.
Well, yes.
You have to ask him. He doesn't always fulfill our desires. How does he do it? He's in control of all the energies.
Usually, when they say that important, Krishna usually will fulfill one desire. To what extent, I'm sure it's not completely. It is.
Does Krishna fulfill all your desires?
No, fulfill our desires.
But does he fulfill all your desires? He does. Oh, you're quite fortunate. No, Krishna gives us what we desire according to what we deserve. It's not that he fulfills all desires. You know, I desire to fly around the world. I desire $1 billion. Ooh, well, I'm kind of Krishna. No, Krishna gives us what we deserve. Not only what we desire, but what we deserve. The material world, it's a combination of both.
Conditional upon our effort and our karma.
Yeah, what we deserve. If you perform pious activities, then you're much more likely to get what you desire. If you perform impious activities, you're much less likely to get what you desire.
Yes, it will appear that to a certain extent this assistance or fulfillment is perhaps the super soul.
Yeah, of course. The super soul sits in our heart. He senses our desires just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And according to what we deserve, he arranges the material energy to fulfill our desires according to what we deserve. But for a devotee, he takes special care so that the devotee will desire to come to Krishna. So he doesn't always, even if the devotee deserves something, he may not give the devotee what he deserves if it's not good for his devotional service.
So, in other words, sometimes it can also happen that the mercy can extend over normal karma with
us. Yeah, Krishna, for a devotee, Krishna will take special care. For the non-devotees, he doesn't take any care. They just get the reactions what they deserve.
Yes, perhaps special mercy.
No, that's his mercy to help us become Krishna conscious. Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvesh dosti na priyaha ye vajanti tumam bhagya mai te teshu chapyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. So that's the first part. Ye yatam amprapajante. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna says, in the material world as a super soul, I reciprocate according to people's activities and desires. But he said, Ye vajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. But for one who becomes a devotee, I take special care so they can come to me, become Krishna conscious. So for those who are not Krishna conscious and not striving to become Krishna conscious, Krishna reciprocates with them as a super soul according to the laws of nature. And for the devotees, he takes special concern. and try to act and arrange people's lives in such a way as they can most easily become Krishna conscious. Anything else? So it's been nice being here. So tomorrow I leave at quite early. So it's nice to see so many devotees here. So every day everyone should come here. Hear about Krishna. It's a very simple process. And it doesn't require a lot of arrangements. It just requires simply to hear, sit down and chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, and forget about everything else for a little while. And then gradually, everything Krishna will reveal everything. We'll understand what the great value is just to hear and chant about Krishna. And then that way the Krishna consciousness movement will actually grow as we become convinced that chanting Hare Krishna is actually valuable. It's not just something you do because, you know, you had nothing else to do. But it's actually the most valuable gift given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by God Himself. He Himself took the process very seriously. So if we just chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, then everything will grow. We don't have to worry about making big elaborate plans for economic development or anything else. Just have to make plans to make the Hare Krishna mantra as much prominent within our lives and try to give other people the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna also. And everything else will take place by Krishna's arrangements. So it's nice being here, having a nice association. So look forward to come back again, chant Hare Krishna some more. And hopefully they'll be the same devotees and maybe even a few more. So, thank you. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Yeah. Yeah.